Good morning. I'm Alisa Z. Thanks so much for spending this Sunday morning here with us. You're listening to the Sunday edition. I heard recently that, I don't know, is it the second Friday or Saturday of January is called Quitter's Day or something like that, because that is when so many people quit their New Year's resolutions. I suggest we need to remember that we can restart those and rev them up anytime we want. Nearly 70% of people's New Year's resolutions have to do with their finances. I'm guessing top of the list is, I'm going to lose weight this year, finally, finally, finally. But probably second or so in line is, I'm going to get a handle on my finances. And that's all very well and good. It's smart. It's important. But a lot of people haven't a clue, through no fault of their own, of how to do that. So no tall order here, Chris Nemus, but I want you to fill us in today on some of the things we need to do and what we learn from all the Nemus men about, and are there women in the company too?
There is one Nemus woman in the company.
All
yes.
Right. So the men and woman at yep. Nemus.
Yeah.
About our finances. What should we be looking at? How should we be starting the year strong so that in December we don't look back and say, I wish I would have talked to Chris Nemus earlier this year. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And what I would say the most important thing to do is to achieve your financial goals when you set these resolutions is automate. And that's one thing with finances that you can do, whereas with your fitness goals, you still have to drive to the gym,
right.
Get out, go inside, get ready, and then go lift or run. As it relates to your finances, you are now able, through the use of technology, to automate many of those things. So just just as an example, if you're looking to start your savings journey or save more than you did in the prior year, and we'll assume last year you saved 5% of your income.
Okay.
Which is just a simple math calculation. What is my income times 5%?
$2.98.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you want to make that 6%, you can automate that. So you take that total number, 6% of your total income, you divide it by 12, and then you can go on many of the popular financial custodial apps, whether that's Fidelity or Schwab, you know, some of these big ones.
Sure.
And then you can do a monthly contribution in that amount, which will guarantee, as long as you don't turn it off,
right,
that you will save 1% more than you did in the prior year. And so I think that's one advantage that you have on the savings front.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's also true as it relates to budgeting. You can manage a lot of that through subscriptions and ongoing payments.
Because budgeting comes up next, of course. Let's say I'm going to set aside 6% of my earnings. And is that gross or net we're talking about?
We use gross to determine total savings as a percentage.
So if we're saying I'm going to save 6% of my gross, I'm going to automate that. I don't have to think about it. Blink, it's there, the deposit is there, and it's safe. Where do we begin to wrap our heads around the fact that we now have 6% less to play with and pay our bills with through the year? Because I think that's almost a bigger hurdle, isn't it?
It is. You can't outsave bad spending habits,
right,
the same way that you can't outtrain a bad diet. Right.
Okay.
So
yep.
This the same is true as it relates to your finances. And so what we always like to tell people is that you've got to pay yourself first. And one of the main points that I tell people as it relates to budgeting is that we are all targets of marketing from retail,
yes,
from entertainment, from travel companies. And so there's always something new that people are seeing on social media. There's
yes.
something new you're seeing on Amazon. And so what we say is pay yourself first. Don't pay Amazon first.
Okay.
Don't pay the travel agency first.
Okay.
Don't pay other people first. Set aside those assets and look at what your core spending is and split it into two buckets. Very simple. What is completely necessary, which I would deem to be food, mortgage, healthcare, those sorts of items that keep you going. What is discretionary that I'm doing? So where am I spending time that's fun to me? Where do I have maybe a shopping habit or different things that have added up over the course of time? Subscriptions I'm not using.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you cut.
Yes.
Because you're not going to cut your mortgage. You're not going to cut your food consumption
right.
generally. You can change what your diet is, but it'll be generally the same amount of of dollars per month. And okay. So I think what's important is that you have to split it up, focus on what's discretionary, reduce there to increase your savings. Because, you know, we do have a crisis in our country, which is that people are not saving enough money for their retirement.
Right.
And that needs to be fixed.
Especially as more and more people are becoming of retirement age. Do we now have more people over 65 than under? Or is that the largest demographic now? If not, it's going to be in a heartbeat, right?
It will be soon, yes.
Okay.
And I think that is a key point, is that when people are retiring, they have, you know, what used to be before where we are today, right? If you think back to the 50s and 60s and 70s, a three-legged stool.
Mm-hmm.
Pension
mm-hmm.
is number one. Social Security is number two, and then your personal savings would be number three.
Right.
There's really not many pensions, if any,
right.
at all, still that are being offered, especially for newer employees. So now it's a two-legged stool, which
mm-hmm.
is obviously not as sturdy. So you need to beef up the personal savings, because Social Security is only going to rise by what inflation is.
Right.
And there's even some issues there as far as Social Security, right? They're going to probably need to increase the taxes to keep it going.
To keep that rolling.
Or move up your full retirement age. So I think that's where people have to focus on personal responsibility for their savings accounts, because you can't count on that pension anymore, which
right.
was the surefire monthly payment that you are going to get.
Yes, that was. I know people in their 80s and 90s who live on Social Security and pension and some investments, as you had said, some personal savings and investments. But without the pension, and if we're not putting away into our savings, what's going to happen? We're in trouble.
Absolutely. 26% of people that are collecting Social Security have Social Security as their sole source of retirement income.
20%.
26%.
26%. That's frightening.
It is frightening. And so if you want to have more flexibility, if you want to be somebody who's a grandparent who's gifting to your grandchildren's education accounts mm-hmm. or taking your children on vacation or doing more discretionary spending, you've got to focus on increasing the assets that you have in your 401k, your IRA, your normal investment account, because that's mm-hmm. what's going to carry you through. That Social Security is a great tool, but it was originally built as an anti-poverty tool.
Okay.
It was not built to be a retirement income
okay.
tool, which it has become today. So you've got to look and say, do I want to stake my entire financial future on what Congress may or may not do with Social Security? Or do I want to take that power into my own
wow.
hands and take control of what I can control, which is my personal savings rate and the percentage that I put away per year?
I've talked to a lot of people who have been very excited when they roll over to whatever age it is where they're allowed to collect their Social Security, because they say, now I have additional income with which to pay my bills in addition to what I earn when I'm working. I think that's a little bit dangerous. If they're collecting Social Security to pay the bills, that means you're living beyond your means, right?
Absolutely. If you're spending the same amount that you're bringing in or beyond, certainly mm-hmm. with the Social Security, you are living beyond your means. And there's a very easy exercise that everybody can do.
Okay.
If you have a bank account, you can look at your balance at the start of 2024.
Okay.
And at the end of 2024, because you'll have an annual summary.
Okay.
Where you started and where you finished.
Okay.
Then look at what was deposited into the account, right? So if
yep.
you started and finished at the same amount, every single deposit that you had in was withdrawn in one way or another.
Wow.
Whether that went to credit cards,
yep.
whether that went to spending on your mortgage, utilities, et cetera. And so what's nice about that is if you're a periodic saver and
mm-hmm.
you do this on a systematic basis, I would hope some of those deposits are going into an investment account,
okay.
a Roth IRA, something that's going
right.
to be tax advantaged in the future. Because if it's not going there, if you're not saving periodically, then you have to, every single time you think about saving, go in there, click a few buttons,
mm-hmm.
transfer it over, invest the money, et cetera. But now with technology, you don't have to
you
do
don't
that.
Have to do it.
You can make it periodic and
okay.
it'll automatically invest.
Are we seeing, I'm guessing we're seeing more and more people living beyond their means. And like you said, we don't know what Congress is going to do. We've been hearing for a very long time administration after administration. Social Security is in danger. And I believe it is. I can't imagine it being wiped out, but one never knows. What's your prediction for where we're going with Social Security? And I won't hold you to it because I know you left your crystal ball at home.
Yes. Well, what I would say is that there will likely be, in my opinion, a grandfathering of those benefits that are currently being received.
Okay.
I think where the changes are going to happen is primarily on those that are paying taxes. So if somebody's working, I would expect them over the course of their career to pay more and more to Social Security every single year.
Okay.
Now, Social Security tax is currently capped, meaning that people only pay Social Security on their incomes up to around $160,000 to $170,000.
Okay.
Then it stops. It's 6.2%, right? And your employer will
right.
match that. I think they'll increase that cap by a lot
okay.
or uncap it. That's number one. Number two, they may increase the percentage, the 6.2, they may boost
okay.
that up. And then number three, what they'll do is for those that are not collecting the benefits, I think they're going to push that full retirement age up higher. So right now that's 67. They may make that 70. They may make that, they'll likely do it year by year. So it will probably go up to 68 and then 69.
Okay.
But when Social Security was created, the average lifespan in our country was only 65 years old.
Right.
Now, you're looking at people living into their late 80s, early 90s,
yes.
late 90s. And so just it's a very simple math equation.
Okay.
What's coming into the system? What's being paid out as a benefit? Right now, there is money that's in the trust.
Okay.
But that's set to be near zero by around 2034 or 2035. So how do they make that up?
Refill
with taxes.
Right.
With the workers'
oh,
taxes.
My good. It doesn't seem fair. I understand from a business stance that makes sense. I'm going to be reaping the benefits, so I should be putting into it, which I am and I will, and that is the way it works. But as it increases, that then takes a bite out of that 6% we're looking at saving if we're losing more or setting aside more. So it's really quite a balancing act, isn't it?
It is, and I would say that we're in the golden age of preferential taxes. If you're earning money right now, I would argue that it will never be more favorable than it is today. And so
okay.
if people are living beyond their means and taxes are as favorable as they are right
mm-hmm.
now, they were cut back in 2017. If the taxes go up by 2 or 3 percentage points or 4 percentage points, which depending on what happens this year
right.
legislatively, the current tax cuts are set to expire at the end of 2025.
Okay.
They may be extended, they may be changed, but that's not guaranteed. That's where people have to be careful too, because we
okay.
think of our budgets as this is what I have available after taxes, because
yes.
that's all that comes into your bank
exactly.
account. If taxes go up, you'll have less in your bank account. It'll hurt your ability to save. And so that's where I would say automating today and starting your journey now, you'll be much better prepared if that does happen.
Right.
I think, and I would even say, I said if there, but it's, in my opinion, a when that does happen,
right.
when the taxes
because
do
it is
go
going,
up.
Yes.
Yeah,
because
the entitlements
be
are
happening.
So high. Yeah.
We have a minute and a half left is all. From the Nemus Rush playbook, what advice would you like to send our way so that we can plant those seeds appropriately now in January to carry us on? If there's anything we haven't touched upon or something you'd like to revisit, Chris?
Yeah, I would say take advantage of what's being offered to you through your employer. That is of the utmost importance. So if you have a high deductible health care plan, use the HSA that's available
okay.
to you.
Yep.
If you have a 401k that's available to you, you can even start with a small percentage, but start
okay.
somewhere, and you can now add on an annual increase of 1%.
Right.
And that will allow you to save more. So take advantage of those things, and then just be aware, again, pay yourself first. It's very simple, right, when you think of it that way. There's
yes.
a lot of things that marketers try to get us to do every single day. It's on
yes.
social media. It's on all the ads. We've got more than ever, you know. I think people feel a lot more inner peace and they feel much better about themselves when they take back control of their finances. And so
without question,
yeah, it doesn't need to be complex. It can be very, very simple. Just make the first step and automate it.
thank you so much. Chris Nemus with Nemus Rush and just and father to three little tiny children. Thank you for being awake today and coming to see me. And I appreciate the insight. I hope you'll come back again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And thank you all for spending this Sunday morning here with us. I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.